Starting today, talk of climate change will dominate the conversation in Paris, France, and elsewhere, but Paris will provide the backdrop of the UN Conference on Climate Change.
Also called COP21, the gathering marks the 21st annual meeting of countries aiming to take climate action. UW-Madison limnologist Stephen Carpenter will not be among the scientists in Paris, but he has a lot to say about climate change.
He's one of 18 scientists who co-authored a recent paper, Planetary Boundaries: Building Human Development on a Changing Planet, in the journal Science.
Carpenter also helped found an initiative called the Program on Ecosystem Change and Society, or PECS. It's held its first official meeting in South Africa several weeks ago.
Carpenter tells WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz why he believes both science and initiatives such as PECS should figure into discussions in Paris. He begins by describing what PECS hopes to achieve.
The Program on Ecosystem Change and Society originated after the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, when scientists around the world got together and asked, what research do we really need to do to make sure we are ready to go the next time the policy community calls on us to answer this kind of question? And PECS was one of the programs that was designed as a result of those meetings. And so we set up the plan for PECS in 2010, and it was a bit slow getting going. It's a big international effort. It took several years to bring a team together and raise money and hire staff and so on. But now it's up and running.
Where is it based? You said there's staff.
There's a secretariat in Stockholm at the Stockholm Resilience Center, but the people are all over the place. There's a very strong program in South Africa, and they hosted the meeting that I attended a couple of weeks ago.
Does this fit with our last conversation when we talked about the update that you and other scientists had put together on the key areas? Or is that a separate?
Well, they are separate but not unrelated. We did a project that was published in Science earlier this year on an update of the planetary boundaries. And the planetary boundaries are a set of limits for the biogeochemistry, hydrology, and climate system of Earth. They're limits that we should stay within, limits that we should not exceed. And several of the people who were at Stellenbosch participated in that analysis. But technically, it's a different program.
So in what way does the gathering that you fairly recently attended feed into what will be discussed in Paris?
Well, I think it feeds in a couple of ways. One is certainly through the planetary boundaries idea, and meeting the planetary boundaries is going to take local initiative, because in many ways the global risk comes from millions of local decisions, and PECS is about making intelligent and sustainable local decisions, and those add up. Mm-hmm. So they are certainly connected in that way. Another aspect of PECS that is relevant and related is the seeds of a good Anthropocene project. Seeds, or also called bright spots, is a component of PECS. It's one of several programs within PECS, and it's aimed at identifying sustainable practices all around the world that could be connected and scaled up to begin to move us toward staying within the planetary boundaries over the next century or so.
So explain Anthropocene.
Okay. The idea of the Anthropocene is that we now live on a planet that is very, that is to a great extent shaped by human action. So humans now control the major biogeochemical cycles, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, sulfur. Those cycles are, which used to be entirely natural, are now largely human-controlled cycles. We control the water cycle to a great extent. We capture a lot of river flow in dams. We use a lot of groundwater for irrigation. And that, of course, that water all eventually goes back to the atmosphere, but it goes back in ways that we have shaped. And we've shaped the land use. 37% of the planet is used for growing for agriculture. So it's, you know, that land is no longer the natural ecosystems it used to be. It's different kinds of ecosystems that we're using to grow food or industrial feedstocks. And the idea of the Anthropocene is that it is now a human-dominated planet, and this is a new geologic era. Where we need to operate differently. We need to operate as stewards of the planet because we really are controlling the dynamics of the planet in very, very critical and important ways.
Are we controlling it or are we influencing it dramatically?
Well, that's a great distinction. We are influencing it dramatically, and it's not clear to what extent we can control it. We certainly have control points. We can, for example, control our fossil fuel emissions by changing the energy mix that we use. We can change the climate impact of agriculture through certain practices that prevent nitrogen oxides from going into the atmosphere and use less carbon to produce food. So we do have these control points, but the climate, for example, is probably not controllable, and no one really knows how to control very complex, large global systems. But we need to use the control points we know about to begin to move back into the planetary boundaries.
So the projects that are accumulating in the bright spots world, right, are those tested? Are they a combination of things that people are using out in the world or others that people would like to try?
The only rule we have is that it has to actually exist somewhere in the world, and so it has to be working. Beyond that, they're experiments. I mean, we have not really investigated them. They're things that sound promising, sound creative and good, and they exist. And we're just gathering those up, and then the next step would be analysis to, you know, to see what's really scalable. We're just dealing with a flood of ideas right now, and trying to sort among them and classify them in some way. Many of them are highly entrepreneurial ideas that are generated by young people in their 20s and 30s, who are thinking, hey, I have to live in this world and I have to figure out how to make a living, but also keep the planet going. And many of the ideas have to do with food, for example, with developing sustainable approaches for food, eating local food, which is a big deal in Wisconsin, often plays into many of those bright spots.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of the other ideas beyond the food scope?
There are a lot of ideas having to do with transportation. Quite a bit of our energy use goes into moving people around so they can get to their jobs and visit their loved ones on the holidays and that sort of thing. So there are a lot of ideas about making transportation systems more energy efficient and faster and serving people better. Of course, that often requires re-engineering infrastructure, but the ideas are out there. There are a lot of ideas around green energy, around using solar energy and also wind and tide energy more efficiently. And right now we're in a time where the price of solar cells globally is dropping pretty fast, so people are getting excited about that and looking for applications applications. We're also seeing improvements in battery technology. And of course, young people are putting the pieces together and combining solar with better battery technology to come up with green versions of many different kinds of gadgets that people need.
You were motivated to help create this because why? I mean, what do you hope this, what do you feel this can and should achieve?
Well, I was motivated because first of all, I felt that the science community really needed to get its act together after the Millennium Assessment and make sure we were ready to go the next time the policy community called on us to do something. And secondly, I feel that local initiative, bottom-up initiative that's really driven by the creativity and energy of people on the ground is going to be really, really important for sustainability and for getting us through the various global challenges that we face now. And certainly global policy, as will be discussed in Paris, plays a really important role. But we also need the bottom-up local action as well. And I personally felt that that's where I wanted to make an effort.
When you think of the issues that the world faces, climate change, do you think that it really requires national, international policy, that really needs to come quickly now? Or do you anticipate that won't happen and that it's going to fall on the shoulders of creative, passionate, concerned people who are looking for ways to turn things around?
Well, I think essentially all of the above. It is really critical that we develop international policies that deal effectively with climate change. And I'm not an economist, but I have read the economic analyses of the problem. And the economists seem to feel that some sort of carbon, some sort of system that assigns a value to carbon, like a carbon tax, would be the most economically efficient way.
Some people have been saying that for quite a long time now, right?
Of course they have. And many economists have been saying it, and there is a lot of analysis out there that shows that would be a very efficient way to go. But then, of course, you end up in the political sausage machine, and who knows where it comes out. The reason this is really important is that the 2 degrees Celsius target, that's what, about 4 or so degrees Fahrenheit, is not just an arbitrary target. Beyond about 2 degrees C, the biosphere begins to go into positive feedback mode. So we begin to have melting of permafrost. We have release of greenhouse gases from the tundra and from various types of soils around the world. The oceans begin to change. The melting of the ice caps begins to accelerate. And we move into a snowballing series of changes that will come to a rest point somewhere, but that rest point may be a lot worse than we want it to be. And so 2 degrees C is about our last chance to really control things before they begin to take on a life of their own and begin to move the world into a new stable state. So it really is critical that we figure out how to get things under control pretty quickly.
So if you were in Paris, where would you focus your attention?
Well, I think I would be answering a lot of science questions, which I would be perfectly happy to do. I think if my opinion was asked on policy matters, I would say we need to make sure that we are entraining the energy of all of these local projects around the world that are helping to move us in the right direction, because we need that local initiative along with the umbrella of smart policy to navigate the world to the place it needs to be.
Stephen Carpenter directs the Center for Limnology at UW-Madison. He spoke with Susan Bentz. You'll find more about his work and the United Nations Conference on Climate Change that begins today in Paris at WUWM.com.